Hey everybody, welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. With me, as always, the Retro Witch herself, Stephanie Bree.
Hello.
Stephanie, how the hell are you?
I've been greater, I've been worser, but today I'm sitting right in the middle of but yay to be here.
Worser?
Uh-huh.
Is that a word?
No, but I like to bend the rules whenever I'm in entertainment mode.
Oh, bend the rules? Bend the rules. That's
make
what we're calling
it. Make shit up as I go.
There it is.
Oh, I got a lot of chili cheese in my belly, so some of it may be coming back up.
And that's how this show died. So, yeah, this is going to be, if you haven't guessed, she's in a mood, and this is going to be fun. I can't promise this isn't going to turn into a dumpster fire.
Oh, that's okay. I have a match.
Wow, that really instilled confidence in me. Woo, I'm convinced. No.
I had a great weekend, by the way.
You did?
I did. I actually got to have a 3-day weekend.
Nice.
For the first time in a while, because I've been working a lot of weird shifts, because, you know, doctor's appointments and things. And one of the biggest, like, things that happened this weekend is I got to spend some time with some people who were very important to me.
Yay.
Yourself, of course, and your brother, our mutual brother-ish, one of our friends.
William!
That was a lot of fun. I wanted him, if he ever listens to this show, I wanted him to know.
Well,
that was a lot of fun.
He listens. Then he tries to give me input, and I just say, shut up, Will. And that usually makes him slink off into the corner. And
I was having a great Monday. She bought me lunch, and then she called me a zit. So, I don't know.
I did not call you a zit.
I said I got a zit on my face, and it's really annoying, and she said, you are.
No. You said, it's driving me crazy. And my response was, now you know how I feel.
Yeah, you compared me to the zit. That's
no,
the same thing as calling me one.
I compared you to something that drives me crazy.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
But but she did buy me lunch, so that was nice.
Gotta do something, right? Well, that's good. That's your weekend?
For the
just
most part,
hanging
yeah.
out, yeah, relaxing a little bit.
Yeah, I put together a collectible toy thingamabobber, but I don't know if I did it right.
A collectible toy thingamabobber.
I forget what they're called, and I know if I say the word wrong, you'll yell at me.
Well, I might just yell at you anyway, because, you know, we need ratings.
That's right. I also brought, I was going to call them the Dinobots just to piss you off, but I brought my Megazord, my Dinozords, to the table.
Thank you for not.
They're providing me with electricity and energy.
This is what we're reduced to, folks.
How was your weekend, Robin?
My weekend was pretty good. Reconnected with some of my photography buddies and
Yay.
Friends. No, we didn't shoot.
No.
This was all just brunch with the girls and catching up after, you know, a year in isolation from each other because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking virus. Bullshit. Speaking of.
Yes.
I got my second dose of the vaccine today.
Coolness.
So I figured it's a good time to record
mm-hmm.
because if everything they say is correct, tomorrow I'm going to be trash.
Not only that, but she left out the part where it didn't give her superpowers, but she does have the uncontrollable urge to say, Hail Microsoft.
Actually, no, on both and on that. On that, one I'm disappointed in. The other I couldn't give more of a shit about if I tried.
But we are recording this using a Windows operating system.
Well, that's just because that's what we have.
That's because they rule the world.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, but...
And she owns a Microsoft, people. An Xbox game console.
Bitch, I own three.
And I can't get away from Minecraft, so we already know the mind control ray works.
But you know what? You know what else happened over the weekend?
Sure.
That we didn't talk about.
I do.
Because I don't know if you really actually know this.
No, I don't.
I could tell by the bullshit the bullshit look on your face. You had zero idea. This weekend was a very special day.
Okay, I'm listening.
It marked 7 months of HRT for me.
Oh, yeah.
So 7 months. And it's finally starting to do things. So, well, I mean, it's always done things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm an anomaly, so I've got some stuff going on. And then, of course, as all us trans women know, it just makes you batshit crazy.
Yes, very, very much.
Oh, my
God. I'm 9 months in. Can you believe it? No, 10 months.
Yours is 10.
Oh, shit.
Because you're, what, 2 ahead of me?
Uh-huh. I'm, like, almost to, because June will be a year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, so it doesn't give me a lot of hope that eventually it's going to balance out and I'm not going to be batshit crazy.
I was crazy before the hormones. Let's just say that.
Okay, we'll give you that one. So today we're going to have some kind of important stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We have two big topics that we're going to talk
about.
Very
important.
We're going to talk about advocacy
mm-hmm.
and its importance.
And a thank you to all those who are out there fighting the good fight.
Absolutely. Keep fighting, even if it seems like, you know, it's getting a little heavy. But keep doing the good work. We're, I don't know if we're gaining ground, but we're at least not losing it too badly. We're losing it in some places, but...
Well, we're more visible now.
We're definitely
they
a lot
know
more
we're
visible.
Here, so we can't hide anymore.
The other thing we're going to talk about is making a family
mm-hmm.
out of friends. Now, I'm going to say this. I've done this long before I was out as transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very important topic, and I think it's something that we can all kind of relate to in a way. Quit yawning.
I was about to sneeze. I was trying not to.
You're going to sneeze, so instead of sneezing, you yawn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, at least we didn't catch that on the mic, so it didn't sound like you're bored out of your damn mind. And then, if we have time, we may get into a little tips and tricks on doing nails, maybe a little nail color, just a few things we've learned. Nothing that's going to radically change the world.
No, but it's fun.
And then we have a top five that I am very much so not looking forward to.
Well, and this is another one where we turn to the Twitterverse.
Uh-huh.
We got betrayed, but it's partially my fault because I put a poll up.
Partially?
Let me explain. Without getting feedback from Robin, except for the last time I asked her for feedback, she said, put whatever you want on the polls and I'll go with it. That was the last thing she said when I asked her how to do the top five polls.
I don't mind that you put the top five polls up and you come up with the four topics, but at least tell me what the hell they are.
Yeah, well, I did it on my lunch break at work last week.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I think we're going to have a good show. I do want to have a programming note. I know we're trying not to do these, here's what you're going to get in a few weeks.
Right.
But
this
I
is
do,
important.
I do want to say something.
That's very special.
I've been very much diving into Twitter, mm-hmm. and I want to thank everybody. I'll probably do it again near the end of the show. All the Twitter people, especially those of us in the trans Twitter community, and yes, before anybody says anything, there really is. I didn't believe it before. There is. There is Twitter, and then there is trans Twitter, and
yes.
It's the same damn app, but mm-hmm. it should be like two different things because they're so dramatically different.
We definitely have more fun.
There's a lot more fun. There's also mm-hmm. a lot more positivity.
Yes.
We do talk a lot about negative things such as legislation and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more building each other up, and that's it's a topic I want to get into later. Mm-hmm. But I've talked to a lot of girls like us, and I've talked to a couple of guys like us, and I've talked to several really awesome allies.
Mm-hmm.
And a topic we stumbled on is a topic I have a lot of experience with, and that is being trans while married,
mm-hmm.
and the evolution of relationships. So I just got on Twitter, and I asked that with everybody I've talked to about the subject, does anybody be interested if, AJ came on the show? So far, my highest liked tweet. So clearly, they want to hear what she's got to say, right?
I hope so. I think so.
So here really, really soon, everybody gets to find out. I'm not making bullshit up. AJ is a real person.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you that right now.
So that's a big programming note, and I just want everybody to spread the word. We'll let you know. It's going to be really soon, like episodes soon. Probably not the next episode, but maybe, we'll see. But it's going to be really soon. So
I was going to make a joke about how AJ is the one that wears the pants in the family, but you wear a lot of pants, and then I realized that's because you're urban feminine.
I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
That's better than calling me a butch dyke. Again.
I want to call that a slip of the tongue, but it happened twice.
It's happened twice. Once is a mistake, a slip of the tongue.
No, I was saying twice. That it's okay if you want to look masculine, because that's a thing, is what I was saying. I know it's a bad word to say, but I'm like, it's a trope that
it's
people
a thing.
Put in their brains.
It's a thing, but shit, look at these jeans.
It was my way of saying you're valid, Robin, even if you look like a guy sometimes.
That did not make it any better, Steph.
I'm sorry.
That might have actually made it worse.
Okay, but you
urban
look
feminist,
you do look
I,
great. Yes,
yeah.
So that's why I came up with that, because you look
like
great
that.
In those jeans. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I know. Sorry,
I do not.
Cocky?
I have to wear shorts or skirts because I don't like. Well, I like my legs, but I also don't like the other stuff.
But you are right. She does wear the pants in the relationship, mm-hmm. and yeah, I do what I'm told when mm-hmm. I'm told. I love you, dear.
I like how Buddy fell asleep. He's like, these hens won't shut the fuck up.
No. Buddy's already bored with us.
Normally, he's over here walking around my feet asking if he can be a part of the show.
Yeah, well, we need to worry when all the cats are bored as hell. Because if they're bored, so is our audience.
I interpret it as they're getting along.
Yeah, that's that's not true. That's bullshit. That's complete bullshit.
I said this was a good intro, but won't we talk a little bit about our advocacy?
Let's jump in and let's talk a little bit about advocacy.
You definitely hit the nail on the coffin when you said
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yes.
Is the
You really got it to the point with what I was trying to say when you said there's a lot of legislation going around right now. And on the trans Twitter, there's also a lot of good people out there who are not just trying to get us noticed, but get our point across.
Yes.
And so that we can fight some of that legislation and also maybe hold on to some of the rights they're trying to take away from us.
Yes.
So we're not going to to my knowledge, we're not going to just sit here and pinpoint a whole bunch of groups that are out there doing their things.
No. We can't.
But there's a lot of
that.
Different things that are being done. There's political activists. There's groups that are out there fighting for, to homelessness. There's people that are trying to get, trans children the medicine that they need. There's people out there that are trying to help women, who don't have the financial resources to transition, do so safely and properly.
Right, yeah. So first,
among other things.
Yeah, like you said, we can't really go into listing out all of our all those advocacy groups, because there are literally thousands of them. Now, that might seem weird, and it makes no sense, because when you think about it, the trans community is very small, and if you kind of do the math, that kind of makes it sound like every trans individual has their own advocacy group. And that's not necessarily the case. A lot of them don't just do things for the trans community. A lot of them do focus on the trans community, but they also help our allies.
Mm-hmm.
Others within the LGBTQ spectrum too.
Right. And we get some in a lot of ways we get a lot of the after effects of that.
Because,
for example, the groups who were fighting for gay marriage or same sex marriage specifically, that really did affect trans people indirectly more so than directly, because if you don't know how you classify a trans person, how do you classify whether they're in a same sex marriage or not?
Exactly.
Case in point, Robin and AJ.
Exactly. What do you classify that as?
Because if the government decides, if the Supreme Court takes another look with its recent repackaging, and they decide, you know what, we changed our minds, would
right.
you two still be married?
Well,
that's a question we don't know.
That is
I have
a question.
Lesbian friends who think that wouldn't be the case. They wouldn't still be married in that situation.
And we really don't know. I mean, I know for a fact there are, and this is probably going to be something we talk about a little bit later, there are other laws
yes
that are in place, so people
God.
Like me and AJ because when we were married I was still a guy
legally
there's a whole interesting law thing that you can't change that,
right?
So they wouldn't be able to really nullify but the same-sex marriage is, if you had two women or two men who got married, you know, after those laws became, they can, maybe that can be affected. But trans, you're right. You can't define it. How do you define that aspect?
Yeah, and I'm sitting here like, you know, I'm bisexual, I believe. And I've had some crushes on some boys. But I've also been attracted to some girls. And I'm like, if I attempt to get married to a man, how is the government going to treat me? Legally, I'm a woman.
That's how they treat you.
But if they get to the point where they're saying, well, it's going to go based on biological sex or sex at birth, that's going to be hard to pinpoint.
Well, no, because of what you did.
Right. And this is why, and this is one of the reasons why people, if you're listening to this and you're an ally or you're not trans, this is why this advocacy stuff is so important. People, I get asked this question all the time. What does it even mean when people say we're fighting for trans rights? Well, there's a lot of things out there that we don't fall into this. You know, marriage is a complicated one, but there's other things. Like, I've been holding off getting my taxes filed because of my limbo status.
Right.
Changing my name and sex marker and everything else. But there's other things too, like, for example, the what they're trying to push right now, they've been trying to push these bathroom bills, which haven't had much success.
Which have had zero success.
They're also trying to push this this thing on the, you know, with keeping athletics segregated.
Yeah.
Or attempting to segregate athletics.
Absolutely.
And coming up with penalties for that. We talked a little bit about, I believe we talked at one point about the one that Texas is trying to do.
Well, we talked about that on Twitter.
Right. There's one in Texas they're trying to pass where if you provide your kids with hormone therapy or seek out any kind of treatment in regards to HRT, the state will take your kids away. You'll go to jail and your kids will go to the state.
The state foster system.
Right. And the thing is, Texas still allows for conversion therapy, which is what presumably they would try to do, is try to straighten you out.
Conversion them.
And they also have a really despicable law in Texas that goes even further, and it's on the books.
Which one?
The panic defense.
Well, they have the panic defense.
Which has been used.
It has been used.
What it means, and this is one of the reasons why fighting for trans rights is so important, and maybe we'll get deeper into this someday, but what it is, let's say you meet a girl at a bar. You're a dude, right? Let's say you're a dude bro. I'm going to say dude bro, not to be offensive, but let's say you're a dude bro.
Yep.
Okay?
And macho.
You meet a girl at a bar, and you take her home, and once you get into her pants, you find a hot dog that ain't supposed to be there. And you decide to strangle her to death. You're not going to jail. I mean, you'll get arrested, but they're not going to convict you because your lawyers will argue you were freaked out because there was supposed to be a taco there.
Well, let me kind of backpedal on that a little bit.
Right, she'll clarify.
It's not that you won't
right
be prosecuted. It's what it is there are lawyers out there and there are criminals out there that are sleazy enough to use that defense.
Right, that argument.
That argument as to why they shouldn't go to jail. Now, I will say this. When I looked into that, and we're going to talk about this later.
Right.
Not in this episode. There's a lot of cases popping up in different places, including Texas, where mm-hmm. the judge goes, No.
But it has dumb. But it has been successful in the past. It has
been successful in the past. Now, the whole idea behind the panic defense law, it's kind of like the I can't even remember. Basically, if someone breaks into your house,
stand your ground.
The castle doctrine.
Yes.
If you feel threatened,
right.
You have the right to defend yourself, and that's what the panic defense is.
Right.
And it's being used against trans individuals as, well, she had a penis. I panicked.
Right.
You didn't panic.
No. And the thing is, it's like, it's usually done in cases where, and it's usually, from what I read, it's usually like, it's not, oh, they freaked out and like slit her throat or shot her with a gun. It's usually they strangle her or beat her. It's usually very violent and very not right. obvious an accident.
Right. Right. So that is something that is out there.
What I was saying though about the laws on the there are actually states that are putting laws on the books that will make that no longer even an option.
Right.
And that's one of the things one of the reasons advocates are out there are fighting. That's one of the things we're fighting for, because it literally will save our lives.
Right. There are other laws, and we're going to talk a little bit more about, like, as examples, laws here in Texas, because, well, that's where we're from. If you can't tell that by my voice, then I don't know what the hell.
But I just live here.
I know you're a transplant. You ain't a native like me.
No, but I like the word that there's in it. Trans.
I prefer native. But there are other laws that we got roped into, and now I'm not 100% sure if this passed or not. But I do remember either 2018, 2019. There was a bill presented to the Texas House, whether or not it got shot down. It's the House or the Senate. I can't remember which one. But what it was supposed to be a real quote. Everybody stand up and do your big boy quotes.
Oh.
Air quotes of religious freedoms.
Yes, and I actually ran into this recently.
And the religious freedom thing, what it did was, one thing I hated was doctors,
mm-hmm.
pharmacies, the one that really pissed me off, adoption agencies
mm-hmm.
can deny services to gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Now here's where it gets fucking stupid. So the LGBTQ community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. We're always being targeted for shit.
Mm-hmm.
This bill also included that if things like those adoption agencies did not agree with Jewish religious views, Muslim mm-hmm. religious views, they could deny services. And in the adoption agencies, they could just deny even helping place children in stable homes.
And that's just
wrong.
And there are, like, there's federal laws against discriminating against the workplace and things like that. Texas doesn't have any state laws providing any protections.
None.
The only ones that they're going to enforce are the ones the federal government forces them to enforce.
Right.
Also, Texas fights hardcore tooth and nail on this religious freedom thing. There are, like, for example, there are religious institutions that if you apply for a job, they can in Texas deny you if you don't align with their religious views or if you're LGBT. Now, there's There's been court cases to fight that, but they haven't been successful in winning us that right yet.
Right. And at the same time, though, I mean, there's a little caveat to that. You know, if you are, if you're clearly, you know, Baptist,
mm-hmm.
honestly, why are you trying to apply and work in a workplace that is going to be a Jewish business that caters to Jewish community based on religion? Now, I'm not saying like, like a church.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can still do it, but I at the same time, I see why they would, why they can deny. But you're right. Texas doesn't have a lot of protections for us. And we're not, the only ones.
No.
It's
actually more states.
It's more states than not.
Yeah.
That have that. I don't think Florida does either.
and that, it includes,
after the past few weeks, we know Arkansas sure as hell does.
It's not just jobs, it's in housing.
It's in housing discrimination and
homeless shelters.
Anything.
Anything where you go to ask for, it's just basically in Texas, it's basically if you don't, if you're gay, trans, lesbian, whatever, they basically you don't have any rights unless the federal government gave them to you.
Right. And that's why advocacy is so important, because that basically is telling a part of the community, mm-hmm. a part of, when I say a part of the community, that's telling a part of the human community that we are not welcome, and we don't belong, and we're not the same as they are. And that's not true. Trans people are just the same as anybody else. It's just what we feel on the outside does not match on the outside. And more times than not, we're taking the steps to change that so we can continue to be productive members of society.
Yeah, and sometimes those, as we've pointed out, those steps aren't always physical or biological. Sometimes it's just presenting. Sometimes it's changing your name. Sometimes you don't even change your name. Only even with your friends. It's whatever you do. Whatever you
right.
do.
Right. That's like you said earlier about the marriage part. Being transgender is damn near impossible to define. I know I just tried to do it there.
Well, at least but especially under the law.
Right. But that's not always exactly the case. There's so many things within being transgender.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we need better laws that can clarify what our legal status is.
Right. But we don't know those things yet. But at the same time, being transgender and transgenderism is not new. It has been around for centuries.
Yeah, there's even arguably cases of it in the Bible.
Arguably. We can't say for certain.
No. We know that there's at least some evidence that there was some gender ambiguity in some areas,
right.
some cases. And actually, I found this out recently, that there's a lot of Jewish faiths, a lot of Jewish rabbis who believe that there are multiple genders.
That's very true.
And teach that. And the reason why I say that is because they're reading from the same part of the Bible that a lot of Christians are reading from, where they come up with these anti-trans stances.
But advocacy, whatever the, I don't want to say niche, because that's not right. That's a bad word
focus.
To use.
Whatever
the focus, that's yes. the, thank you. Whatever the focus is of that advocacy group, whether it be trans rights overall, mm-hmm. The ability for trans children to play in sports, which is just stupid, trans homelessness.
If there's a way to discriminate against us, they'll find it.
Right. That's why there's so many advocacy groups, and every single one of them are important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because let's think about this. There have been advocacy groups for other marginalized
mm-hmm.
segments of the population.
Yes.
I think the biggest one that I can think of, the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what they have done for
their... Or even
their,
the ACLU.
The ACLU. Look at how they've helped their community.
Mm-hmm.
I will agree, in a lot of places, there is still a lot of work to be done for all those groups who've been fighting for their rights long before the trans community did. You still got a long ways to go, but you're making headway.
Right. And the more progress we make, the more progress that your non-binary and gender non-conforming people will have down the road.
Exactly.
Because I have friends that fall under that are even less legal protection, you know, like...
Well, because that's even harder to define than being right. trans. I mean, if you want to talk...
If I go into a doctor's office and they say sex, gender, whatever on the form, I'm going to check female. But a non-binary person is going to go in there and they don't know what to check.
Or
both, all of the
gender
above.
Gender fluid.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, it's gender fluids based on what do they feel like that day.
Yeah, and some of these things, it's like, it's really hard to lock down. It took me a long while. I knew I wasn't a boy. I knew I wasn't gay. I knew I was probably bi or something else. I don't know. But I knew I was different.
Right.
At a very early age.
Yeah.
It just took me a while to find the words. And even once I found them, I think we're still finding, there's a lot of people out there in the trans community, older trans people especially, who still go by the older terms. There's a lot of contention amongst younger trans people about some of that too. Because it used to be, we had a separate term for post-op and pre-op because it was within the binary, it was decided that you were either your sex that you were assigned at birth,
right,
and you had changed it. That's why they used to call it SRS, sexual reassignment surgery,
right,
which we try to stay away. Some people now call it gender reassignment surgery or gender confirmation surgery.
I think we just say
bottom surgery to stay away from all of that stuff.
But I think the new actual agreed medical terminology is now gender confirmation surgery.
I think so. Something like
I think
that.
I think the gender reassignment surgery, and I sometimes slip and call it GRS,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's actually now considered outdated.
Right.
But I think it is gender. Shit. Now I can't even remember what the hell I said. Confirming.
Right.
Surgeries or any so.
But we wouldn't have gotten to where we are today if they hadn't fought first.
Correct. And to kind of go back a little bit on, you know, we had the terms for pre-op, post-op.
Yes.
We also had different terms for what trans people were. And I'm gonna be the first to admit I hate all the old terms.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand them.
And it was, and a lot of it was too, it was treated as a clinical mental illness.
As an illness. And not just a mental illness, but as an illness overall.
Yeah, and they were trying to cure you.
Right.
And so that's why you had to go through all these psychologists and evaluations and everything to get the surgeries.
Right.
If you could even get the surgery in the first place. I mean, it took a while before that became, I would say, commonplace or at least acceptable.
A little more, I'd say acceptable, not commonplace, because it's still not commonplace.
No, not really.
But we're getting to the point where it's more and more acceptable.
And that's one of those ancillary things, you know? Like insurance companies don't cover HRT, which to a trans person is medically necessary.
To a point. Now,
I mean, can be.
They can't. Well, an insurance company can cover that if the plan is right. What they don't do is they're not upfront about it and tell you that.
Or even the surgery. We're going to just say
the surgeries.
We're just going to say the surgeries. Insurance companies don't have to cover those, but some will.
Some
there's no guidelines on when they should or what should be considered acceptable.
Right.
And we fall under the same ambiguity as some of the same-sex couples who, for example, you said adopted. Let's say they go and get married and they adopt a kid. And then let's say that kid is in a car accident sitting in the hospital and neither parent can go in there and visit the kid.
Right.
Or only one of the biological parent.
Right.
Or in the case where you both, you adopted because that you can't, you know, like a trans, I mean, you're just not capable of, there is no biological parent.
Right.
In the relationship you adopted because of the incompatibility of your genitals.
Or other things.
Your reproductive, or whatever, but I'm just saying, right. Like, you know, as an example. Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's an area that we have some ways to go. Because we don't really have a lot of legal protections, and a lot of it's state by state, and some of those things shouldn't be state by state.
It really is. I mean, I agree.
And there's just so many. And when you start looking into like what rights trans people are lacking, it's mind-boggling how few rights we actually have outside of the basics that every American has.
Absolutely.
Because even as you will find out. I was reading an article earlier this week. There was some riot somewhere in response to a mass shooting or a something. I can't remember what had went down, but a lot of trans people were placed in solitary confinement because the cops didn't know where to put them.
Right.
In the general population. General population. They didn't know, well, should we put them with the men or the women? So they get put, a lot of times they get put in solitary confinement, which, and held without bail because they're in solitary.
Right.
Which is a violation of the civil rights.
Right.
But it's also legally not. Or it's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous. That's,
and that's the problem. Because it really shouldn't be.
And I think that's...
It's, people are talking about, well, we should build... We should have schools or sports where we have trans people separate from the... You know, like, trans women should compete with other trans in their own sports leagues. No one's talking about building trans prisons. They just want to stick the trans women in with the men, sometimes rapists, who are there for being disgusting creatures.
Well, at the same time, you know, that's something that the advocacy groups, that's why that's so important.
Right. We're just basically pointing out how hard it is to be trans in this country if you don't cross all the T's.
Right, because, I mean, it's kind of hard...
And that's why we need people fighting these battles for us.
And that's where I wanted to get to next was why it's so important in several levels here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said at the beginning of this, we're a small part of the population,
mm-hmm.
But it seems like there's thousands. Well, there is literally thousands of different advocacy groups.
Right.
For us. And it seems like every trans person has their own. I'm going to go out of here on a limb and say, I don't have an advocacy group, so I'm...
Well, you have transposed.
I have transposed. But this is more... Yeah, right. I don't know about an advocacy group, but...
Gotcha. No, I know.
But it's... While that seems silly that everybody has their own, that it's just so important because this shows that as a community... Trans alone, we are so passionate about being normalized, being accepted regularly, that we're willing to go through all that. And for us, it is about, and we other groups say this for whatever it is, for us, it's about the next group. And more importantly, within the trans community, it's about the next generation.
Now, and this is what this is where I really want to point out to our allies. Which, great, if you're an ally, great, thank you. You don't know how hard it is to be trans until you try it, because you don't know what questions to ask. You
exactly.
Don't know what rights you gave up. You literally have to Google everything.
Right.
I had to Google, can I adopt? I had to Google, where can I get HRT? What are the steps? I had to Google, can I change my name? What am I allowed to do if I do so? What's the process? Can I get, you know, open a bank account under my name, or will I be considered fraud? These are questions you have to Google once you start down this journey.
You're right. And I think as for allies, we as the trans community, we appreciate what you do.
Yes.
We appreciate the support. But there are some fights we don't need you up front. Mm-mm. We need you right behind us, letting us, because like you said, you know, it's like with these silly laws that are trying to be passed in the different states. Well, you turn on Fox News and CNN, and there's some straight-ass white guy he's not transgender, he has nothing to do with the trans community, talking about our mental health. Well, I mean, it's the same thing that goes into, and I quote this movie, I cannot even remember the movie now, but it was Chris Rock, and he's running for president.
Oh, I remember
and
that
he
one.
Said in that movie, in his speech, in his final debate speech, how can you help the poor if you've never been poor?
Head of state, I think is what it was called.
I think that might have been it. But how can you experts, and I'm using the air quotes, how can you say what's best for trans community?
Have you never been trans?
If you're not trans.
Right.
If you've never gone down that road.
Yeah, and we've talked, each week we come up with something, and the thing of it is, a lot of it we're figuring it out as we go along.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it's like, you know, I know Robin started transitioning shortly after I did, and I started, and I've talked to a lot of people who started. I waited until that Supreme Court decision that came out last year.
I didn't.
Because it made me feel more comfortable. I was going to transition anyways, but I was going to leave Texas before I did. Right. I was actively looking for a safer state to do it. And then once that happened, I was like, okay. Because I had a good job at the time. I was working at a TV station, and I didn't want to leave that behind.
Right.
But I was like, because I'm in the media business, it wouldn't be that hard for me to transfer to another TV station.
Right.
And I actually started, that was where I started. I started researching within the company I was at, and I reached out to HR, and they were like, yeah, we're going to support you, and we're going to back you up. But I had to Google a lot. I had to do a lot of research because I was afraid if I start transitioning, can they fire me? Will they fire me? What happens if they do?
Right. And I mean, those are still questions that we don't know.
And
we don't know that in a lot of, not just Texas. Right. Now, I'm going to say this.
I'm not trying to pick on Texas. I'm not.
Yeah, I know. We accidentally sound like we're dogging on Texas. I'm a native Texan. I love Texas. I'm just not happy with our leadership.
No, and I moved here by choice. And
but
we can make it a better state if we work together.
Not just a better state. Texas is not isolated.
No.
We're the biggest state in the continental U.S. Well, yeah, I'm going to say that because, yes, Alaska's bigger area-wise, property-wise, land-wise, but not population.
No.
So we are huge.
Right.
And that's why we kind of get that looking glass, that magnifying glass and everything looking on us, because there are so many of us
right
in this state. And so it does have a bigger impact when things like this are passed. But Texas is by no means an isolated thing.
No, and
it's happening all over.
I have friends in the community who have moved to Texas because it was better here than where it was where they come from.
Right.
And so there are states out there that are actually worse than what Texas is doing.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, it's like Texas is one of those, we keep picking on Texas, and the thing is, that's just where we live. But all of these laws, all of these, there's a lot of stuff in the federal government too, and the tax code, things like that, where we just don't know what our legal status is.
But it is slowly being figured out.
And
that's where the advocacy groups are so good for us, because they're helping us figure that out. And they may be our voice for those of us who can't get up and speak. I mean, for Christ's sake, I can't get up and go to Austin every time there's a new damn bill.
No.
That is just dumb as hell and targets trans people. You know? Because I understand what that all that crap is.
Right.
And I just can't do it. But our allies fighting with us help us with the normalcy. Now, before we wrap up on this,
mm-hmm.
We said we can't name them all.
Right.
but I'm going to plug our good friend who we had on the show last week.
Yes.
Daniela Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Danny has a website, if you're in need of an advocacy group, called LGBTQIA Resources, all one word, .com. And she has several advocacy groups on there. Now, when we talked to her, the website is still being worked on. She works on it a lot, and mm-hmm. I'm sure she's updating it, if not every day, every week.
Right.
Or at least as she gets new information. So if you do want to check out some of the advocacy groups, that's a great place to go. We had Danny on as our spotlight interview last week.
Episode 13.
Episode 13. That's right. This is episode 14. Wow. Anyway.
We're a teenager now.
I know. But we will do, as we go, as the show grows, advocacy groups will get spotlight interviews as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of me putting the feeler out there. If you have an advocacy group and you would like to be in a spotlight interview,
let us know.
Let us know. Drop us lines on social media. I talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to everybody about everything. So, just say something. My DMs are open. Slide right in. Isn't that what the kids say? Slide into the DM?
Sure.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's usually how you get dick pics.
Of course. So, let's because of the allies.
Yes.
Let's move into something a little different that is very important about with our allies.
Yes, and this is very important to me too, personally, especially.
Yeah, and this is making a family out of your friends. Now, I'm going to start by like I said at the beginning, I've been doing this long before. Before I was ever trans. My family situation sucked. Yes, I have happy memories,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it wasn't a great environment. Half of my family I was kept from because I was programmed at a young age that they didn't love me and care, which I've now found out in my adult age, that was bullshit. So I separated myself from my biological family. And when you have something like that and you're in a situation, I'm going to say kind of similar to Stephanie, I'm an anomaly. I already had the separation before I was trans. So I'd never had to deal with being pushed away, being turned on, being abandoned because I was trans. I was abandoned for a lot of other reasons.
Right.
And it's so important. Like, you mentioned at the top of the show, we spent time with Will.
Yeah.
Will's not my best friend anymore.
No.
That is my big brother.
Right.
I've adopted him.
Now, my situation, as she said, is a little different. But this is something... Mine, I think, is akin to what a lot of trans people go through.
Yours is more common than mine.
Because my family, all pretty much across the board, has basically severed ties with me. My mom is still making an effort, but it's, I'm going to say it's more of a subversive effort.
I'd say passing.
Passive. Yeah. She's making an attempt, but she's not being direct. My dad has pretty much cut ties with me. My sisters have told me that I'm dead to them. I have one sister who will still text me on occasions, but she hasn't really
embraced you.
Yeah, she calls me, but she gets a lot of things wrong. She's like sort of, she's attempting, but I think she means well, I think, but she's also kind of, she's got a lot going on, and I don't think she's really fully grasped what it is I'm explaining to her. And then I've got Robin, who is where we're going with this. She's my family now. Robin is not just my, you know, roommate, my friend, my co-host. She's my sister.
Yeah, you get to be the annoying little sister.
Yes. And she called me a zit, by the way. But
no, I did adopt you.
Yes, and here's the thing. I've only known Robin since what, October or November? Not even very long.
October.
I'd say October.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was right around there.
Yeah.
But it's like I've known her my whole life.
Hey.
And I feel safe around her. And, you know, I want to say, yeah, I felt that with my regular family too. But here's the thing. This is the thing. You don't have to identify with your biological family. Nope. If they hurt you,
yep,
you can cut them out of your life and find people who will
accept you,
who will care, who will love you for who you are.
There's the word.
And we all know this. And it's everybody I've met in the LGBT community has some of this.
Yep.
You will find people who will be better for you than your biological family ever were.
Absolutely.
Because they won't just adopt you. They'll write your name in their heart.
Exactly. We care about, you know, I did. I adopted you.
Yes.
And that's kind of an interesting thing because you brought it up. We've only known each other since October. But when you start to build these things, there are people in my circle, and you've met a lot of them. Will and I had the connection pretty quick, but we were friends, then best friends, then it evolved into being, that's how I see him. And he sees me as his sister. You, I kind of latched on to almost immediately.
Yeah, I kind of want to tell people how we met, but I kind of feel like maybe not.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Is
but
okay?
I latched on to you.
Okay.
And it was almost like kind of instant that this person is not just going to be my friend. This is someone that, to me, and it's not just because we're both transgender. There was just something and it clicked and I adopted you. I did the same thing with one of my photography buddies. Buddy. I'm not going to call her a buddy. Terry. I don't know what it was, but there was a click. And it was instant. And now I see her as kind of my big sister. You know? So if I need sisterly advice, I'm going to go to Terry. You know? What do I do? But it's important that you have that L word, love.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, a lot of us may not have had a whole lot of that. And when we come out as trans, sometimes that love, what we thought was unconditional, it's suddenly gone.
No, because you forgot to read the fine print. It's I love you unless you're queer.
Unless you're different.
Yep.
Unless you're different in a lot of cases. But for me, and when you start building this, what I have found is when I started building my family, my new family, it helped me in ways. I know we talked, what, 2 episodes ago about the wedding and the dress?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are two. I went to the wedding of a kid that I mentored him pre-transition. Before I transitioned, I mentored him in life, him and his twin brother, okay? And they used to joke that they were the closest thing I had to children. And I thought that was, because I was in dude mode, I thought that was cool. But when I came out to them and one said, dude, we have 2 moms now. And then they started calling me Mom 2. Because their mom called me Mom too, mm-hmm. and their mom started acting like my sister and everything. It was like, these are my sons. These aren't just the boys that I mentored. They don't see themselves as that. They see themselves as my children because of how I helped raise them. And that just gave me a sense of fulfillment. Because I know no matter what goes on, they still love me and the way I love them back. And it really is that acceptance and there is not an ounce of blood between us. So you start building this this group. Mm-hmm. And we use the word trans sisters and trans brothers, and it gets thrown around a lot. For me, if I call you my sister, okay, and Kim, if you're listening to this, I mean this, that means you're my sister. And I don't mean that in just
sister.
Hey, sister, we're in a sisterhood of trans women. No, mm-hmm. I mean you are my sister. You are my family. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be checking on you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to love you no matter how much you drive me up the wall.
And this was especially important to talk about in the advocacy episode, because it's also about getting people out there who don't understand what we go through to maybe realize that, you know what, these are just people.
Exactly.
So that they can learn, maybe the next generation can learn to treat their kids better.
Right.
And we won't have these.
Exactly. Issues. Exactly. We're no different. But having that love and that support is so important. Because when you start going through transition, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of doubt. So when you start throwing in the negativity of family, biological family, turning their backs on you, it can be daunting. It can make things like your depression and dysphoria make way worse. And it can lead to that horrible, horrible word, suicide.
Yes.
And we don't want that.
No.
We don't want that at all. We want everybody to be around, because whether you realize it or not, just because your family issues, biological family issues, you're still loved. Right. And you're loved by people that want you to be happy. And I know that seems kind of weird, but it is. So building a family out of friends is important. But there is a question. What do you do if you don't have friends to build it out? How do you go from there? It's very simple. You simply reach out. You may think that there's no way you're going to post on Twitter, nobody's going to answer you, nobody's going to give two shits. I get to call bullshit on that, because that is not the case.
No.
There are always
people
who care.
I have sisters on Twitter that was how I met them, was they just posted, is there anybody out there?
Exactly.
And I responded and I was like, I'm here and I'll always be here. If you ever need somebody, I'm here.
Shit, that's kind of how we met.
Yeah. I wanted to tell that story, but do we have still time?
We got plenty of time.
So it's kind of weird, because Robin and I actually met on a dating site, but we weren't trying to date.
Let me put this up first. It wasn't a dating site when we joined it.
Right. It was a trans inclusive social networking kind of site.
It was supposed to be a trans exclusive social, but it didn't work that way and ended up becoming a dating site, which is bullshit, because that happens to every
But when we first started connecting, I wasn't looking for a girlfriend, and she was married, still is.
Yeah, I still am.
We were both looking for trans friends that we could talk to and get to know.
Exactly.
And I want to say, you know, I don't click with a lot of people. I don't have a lot of friends. Robin and I, we pretty much just clicked
right off the bat.
It was within a week I was coming to her with my problems.
Yep.
And she was telling me her stuff.
Giving her advice, telling her my experiences. And she knows a couple things about your girl that you don't want to know.
And it just sort of I didn't even feel, I mean, there's always that, you know, you're saying something to somebody who you're just now meeting, but it was like, I didn't even really feel awkward. It just like, hey, this happened. What do I do?
And it was just natural.
And she was right there with, okay, calm down. because she starts every sentence off with calm down.
Calm down. In case anybody doesn't know, Stephanie, even when she's not being high strung, sometimes sounds like she is on the edge of a panic attack.
Robin probably doesn't know this, but I've cried more happy tears since she's come into my life than I did over losing the rest of my family. Sad tears. So I've been a lot of... you've been my sister, and I appreciate that.
Well, you are my sister as well, and I'm glad I adopted you.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. That being said, you still... Sometimes you just drive me batshit crazy.
Well, I try.
But guess what?
Bats? Bats?
Batshit.
Gross.
Yeah. Well, but little sisters do that.
You're right.
Because technically, there is enough of an age gap. You're the little sister.
That's right.
So that's what I normally chalk it up to.
And I'm gonna not quote the little baby dinosaur, but I am gonna bask in the baby gets to be the favorite.
That's true. Well, I don't know about that because the rest of my sisters are younger than you.
Oh no! All of mine are too, except for one.
So, but I mean, of my adopted siblings,
okay,
you're the youngest of the adopted. Because Will and Terry are definitely older than me. Will always has to tell me that.
So what I'm hearing is Robin does have an advocacy group. It's called an adoption agency.
I don't adopt everybody. I don't adopt everybody. But at the same time, make no mistake. If you talk to me on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere, and you interact with me long enough, and... I start to call you sister. I call you if you're, you know, brother. I don't just mean that in the brotherhood of humanity, or I mean it.
And I don't know. I don't know if she'll admit to this, but I had to talk her out of a crisis once or twice too when we were still separated by distance.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a crisis. I am the most well-rounded, perfect individual.
Every single person who had soda in their mouth right now has a wet couch.
Oh, there are so many people who listen to our show. Oh my God, that's bullshit. You're right. It is bullshit. I'm held together. I'm held together by duct tape and a prayer. You know, most days, the brunch I just had with my friends this past weekend, I told them to give me enough time to get ready because it takes a long time to put a coat of paint on this dumpster fire. So, yes, I'm not exactly always put together.
Hmm.
But it's always good to have my brothers, my sisters to lean on. To my biological brothers and sisters that I'm slowly reconnecting with, Courtney, Andy. Did I talk to Megan? I talked to Megan, Pam. And then to the two brothers I haven't talked to yet, Casey and Tim. You don't realize how important, my adopted siblings are, but you're important to me too. So I want to thank my adopted family, all my friends in the circle. And that's what I call my family's the circle. I don't know why, but I guess it sounds cool. For being there and being part of my family. And every one of them say the same thing. That's what family does. That's what family does. And I think, to me, that's the mark right there.
Right.
If somebody comes to me and I hit them with a problem, and when I thank them for their assistance, when they hit me back with that, that's what family does. I'm in. I'm golden. And that's great.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, you know, when you're in our situation, when you're in this community, we're all together. We're all in it together. We're here for you. We're all here for each other.
Absolutely.
That's why we call ourselves a community. But we also are a family. We're in a very extended family.
Right. Now, like you said, Robin's got an advocacy group. while I'm not actively looking to adopt more siblings, I don't mean it can't happen that I don't adopt another sibling. So yeah. The biggest thing to take away from this, I think, for me today, in this topic is reach out.
Yes.
Don't. Reach out. You never know what connection you're going to make.
Yeah, you don't have to go alone.
You do not have to go it alone.
Go to that website and find one of those groups to talk to. There's 800 numbers you can call.
Absolutely.
If you need to talk to someone.
Hell, let's do one better. If you're listening to this show, you follow us on Twitter, whether it be the Transpose Pod, the Spider's Lair, or Robin Allura. You follow us, and you feel like you're going through some shit, and you need shoulders to cry on. Slide right into that DM.
Mm-hmm.
We're here.
Yes, always.
Always. Slide right in. If you want to interact with either, I don't know how you feel about DMs. I'm open. I don't care.
I'm flexible.
If you don't feel you can interact with us in the grand Twitter feed, I once
gave up a whole day at work, and I could have got in trouble for this, but fortunately I worked at a newspaper and they were understanding. I had a trans girl who was going through a crisis who was talking about killing herself.
Yeah.
Who reached out to me because she didn't know what to do, and I spent my whole day just like trying to get her help.
Well, and we're here.
And I had people at work who were like, yeah, you're definitely not trained for this, but you did a good job. And so, I'm not a crisis counselor.
Me neither.
If you need to cry, I'll listen, and I will totally be sympathetic because
absolutely,
I've got wet pillows in there because I cry all the goddamn time.
Well, you know we have a clothes dryer for that, right?
Yeah, well.
but seriously, If you need someone to reach out to, there's always someone to reach out to.
Yes.
Hell, we're putting ourselves out there. Okay? Reach out.
Yeah, you don't have to go alone.
Because you don't.
I know it hurts. We went through it. I went through 38 years of my life miserable as fuck.
Yup.
And it took me that long to find Rob, and it took me that long to find my voice, and it took me that long to finally get to where I could be me. But it's so.
It is
so much better now than it's ever been in my entire life. It's
the past 4 years for me, because as I've said in the previous episodes, that's kind of when I started. But because of the dynamic between myself, work, AJ, and everything, we took it slow. I've only been on HRT for 7 years or years,
months,
Jesus Christ, months, but to get to this month 7. Has been a 4-year journey. Maybe 3-year journey. Somewhere in there. But it's been that way. And it's just important that you understand we all go through these things. And we want to be there for you. So, I mean, I still need people. So, like we said, reach out to us. If you need us, we're here. We're here. And remember, it's not something that's going to happen overnight either. It is something that once you reach out, you build your family, it does take time. But in the end, it's all worth it. It really is. It's worth every moment. And these 4 years, I've been happier than ever. I've been even happier these past 7 months. But if I didn't have people like Stephanie, AJ, William, Terry, the list could go on and on and on and on. Courtney, Andy, Eric.
And if you're considering transitioning but you're scared, I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I've been through some shit. And I've cried a lot of tears, and I've lost a lot in my life as a result of transitioning. But the feeling I have, knowing I'm being me, the real me, is so much better than everything I went through. I'm not saying losing your family is a good thing, or that the that transitioning is worth losing your family over, but I'm saying that
it's not it's the that end of the world.
It's no, but it's that it's it, it really being aligned with how you feel inside just makes it's one of those things that
it can give you so strength. Much.
Yes, it's so important that it'll balance out that other stuff, and then you'll have to learn how to deal with that other stuff. But if you have family or you have somebody there to talk to, you'll be able to do that. Because it's so worth it. It's so totally worth it.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
It sucks losing your family, but at the same time, it's like it sucks even more living a lie.
And you, while it does hurt when you lose your family, your biological family, it gets okay because there will be people who will help you heal. So, we got a little heavy on that one.
Yeah.
But still, again, big point. Just because you aren't connected to your biological family anymore doesn't mean that there's not a family for you.
I've got room for more sisters if you're out there looking, or if you're a trans man, if you need a brother. I could use a brother. I've never had a brother growing up. So there we go. Reach out. Yeah. We're here for you.
All right. Well, looking at our time clock,
mm-hmm.
We're going to have to say the cosmetic thing. We're going to have to push her off to the side.
That's good for me.
Because we need to get into... World's longest sigh.
Our
top five
fairy tales.
Now, I want to before we get into this, seriously, Steph, what the hell?
Because I took a little bit of a looser interpretation, and I didn't know you were going to go as strict as you did. But also, I've been putting polls out on the Twitter, and this is the one that the fans decided.
I know, and I wish I had known this was a choice. I didn't even look. In fact,
well,
I was...
whose fault is that?
No, I saw the poll, the Twitter poll.
And retweeted it.
And I retweeted it. That was more like just reflex. But I saw hot rods. Now, I'm not a car person. Never have been, never will be. But I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I somehow twisted that into hot dogs and then got corrected on, no, it's hot rods. Well, son of a bitch.
Top five hot dogs I could have done.
I could have done hot dogs. Here, I'd be talking about food and she'd be talking about cars.
Or something else.
Or something. Well, now that's a hot rod I could get behind. Well,
behind
I mean,
you in front of.
Okay. That's what anyway, I was going to say. More TMI. Of like behind me.
TMI.
TMI. But I didn't read all of them. I didn't read all the choices. And Twitter spoke. And you got to give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to do fairy tales. But I'm going to apologize.
Uh-oh.
I got five fairy tales. I can't really rank them. And I can't really tell you why I'm putting them in the order I'm putting them in.
And that's okay.
To me, it was just the first five that popped into my head.
I put a little thought into this, but I really... Number one was no question for me. The other ones, I just kind of like went down the list and I kind of cheated on one, but I won't say what it is till I get there.
So here's how this top five is going to go this week, folks. Stephanie is going to be the deep one. She's going to be telling you her top five fairy tales and why they're important to her and what their meaning is and why they've ranked them the certain way. And I'm going to be giving...
Well, you're putting a lot of pressure on me.
Well, of course. Because this is your fault.
Okay.
And me, I'm going to be giving you five fairy tales with like very little commentary. So
well,
I'm sorry. But let's kick this train wreck from hell off with number five. Steph, what's your number five?
So I love fairy tales, but I'm a little bit more looser with the term. I'm not just limiting myself to the European ones, and I'm not just limiting myself to stuff that was written in the 1500s. Thank you so very much. Okay. But I did pick Cinderella for my number five, but I prefer the one with the mice because I love my Disney Cinderella. I like the, my mom had a book called 50 Famous Fairy Tales, and I read the whole thing when I was a kid over and over and over. So I read a lot of the, like some of the deep cuts, you know, some of the ones that you probably wouldn't even be able to remember. I can't even name them off the top of my head. They're a little bit different than the Disney versions.
Of course.
Oh no. And I've seen other interpretations of the Cinderella story. I'm sure we all have.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put any of these on my list, but I also would have accepted what you classified as fables. I also would have accepted certain books if it falls under that same type of, you know, like if it was written before the actual establishment of like the fantasy genre.
Okay.
Anything that was written before the 1800s or older.
Okay.
It's kind of how I interpreted it. But the reason why I picked Cinderella is because, okay, I'm not dead naming myself, but my dead name's initials spelled the word rat. And so I always had an affinity for mice and rodents. Now, I also had rodents when I was a kid. I loved playing with rodents. This may surprise some people. Maybe it won't. I love playing with spiders and other insects when I was a kid. And so I liked that one because of the mice, but also because the, you know, Cinderella, one of the cute ones. I don't mean cute like she's pretty, but I mean like it was a cute story.
Yeah.
And they presented it well. And so I liked Cinderella because it had just a hint of magic, but it wasn't like crucial to the what was happening until like the very end of the movie. I also like it because it's the, you know, it's the one where the princess has a say in the guy that's going to be sticking it to her versus, well, he kissed me, so I belong to him.
Yeah. Disney formula 101.
So I feel like Cinderella is one I can actually kind of, I mean, I'm not going to go full on feminist, but it's one I can kind of support at least a little bit, because she had a say in it and she wanted the prince. She actually courted him, set a man trap, and got the prince. Good job, girl.
Sometimes you got to set a trap.
You know, you Meghan Merkled it.
Wow. Okay.
Number five.
Cinderella. Okay, I can see that. But I think my favorite thing about Cinderella...
The dress?
No.
Oh.
Is the fact it pops up in Star Trek VI, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, good God, again with the Star Trek.
As Chekhov says, perhaps you know the Russian epic of Cinderella. If shoe fits, wear it.
Well, that explains why the shoe was made out of glass.
Yes. So, all right. So, my number five, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to phone this in, is the Gingerbread Man. I like that one.
I especially like the horror version.
I don't care for it. I just, that was the fifth one that popped in my head.
Very tasty.
I like gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I got. Number four.
Well, my number four falls under that. I had to stretch a little bit, and this isn't because I was trying to cheat. It was just because I felt this one was more important than any of the Grimm's fairy tales.
Okay.
So I picked Bram Stoker's Dracula, and the reason why I picked this one is, although some people are going to say that's not really a fairy tale, it is the starting point of Gothic romance. And it's very Gothic. It's very romance. People don't necessarily agree with that, but you have to have seen it to understand it.
I don't agree with that.
But it's whatever. But to me, it has everything that you want out of a fairy tale. And it has a more twisted ending than similar to the original interpretations of some of these stories. But one of the reasons why I like Dracula, and I know some people are like, that's not really a fairy tale. Okay, like I said, I cheated on this one, but
yeah.
I chose this because I felt like it is the origin story of a lot of what comes later. Almost every, because a lot of fairy tales do have vampires in them, and Dracula is really the origin of the vampire trope. And it's just, it's a very important book. And it, and I'm not picking one version over another. I think the whole myth of Dracula is important to the evolution of, especially like the Gothic side of literature, and horror and yeah, fantasy and all that stuff. So I also like Dracula because it's one that it's not afraid to get down and dirty without using a whole lot of metaphors.
Right.
There's explicit sex in this movie, in this book.
Well, and all, violence too.
And it's arguably rape. Yeah. At least sexual assault.
Right.
And that's not a good thing, but it's because it's one of those that it definitely illustrates how powerful this man, this monster is.
Right.
So that's one of the things. I love vampires and I love Dracula.
Okay. All right. That is quite a stretch, but okay, we'll let you have it. Number four.
Oh God, I know what she's gonna say.
No, you don't. You don't have a clue.
Go for it.
Then tell me, what is my number four?
No, I don't want to say.
Uh-huh. See, you don't know nothing. Pinocchio.
Oh,
there's a big whale in it. I don't know.
Okay.
That's about to tell me.
Wooden boy with a stick that can't stop growing.
there's a wooden boy runs around with a cricket got ate by a whale.
Oh. And makes friends with a donkey. That movie's fucked up. Actually, he got turned into a donkey.
The kid got turned into a donkey.
Still.
Yeah, well, it's still. I'm sorry, that's just fucked up. But as most fairy tales are, they're fucked up.
I can say that. Yeah,
but that's, yeah, for Pinocchio, giant whale. Moving on. Number three.
She likes her fish, apparently. Number three for me is actually one that is one of the Grimms, if I'm not mistaken. It's Hansel and Gretel. Now, again, this is another one. I like all the different interpretations of it. I especially like when, even though it's not my favorite of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, I like when Freddy Krueger did this movie because it's a really good story.
Always with Freddy Krueger with you.
Yes. One of the things I like about Hansel and Gretel is here is where you have a story where it's got layers to it. You know, you got this house that's made out of candy and the kids are all excited for it, and then you find out that it's not what it seems. You have this evil witch that's going to eat the kids, so that implies cannibalism, and the kids, you know, use their ingenuity to survive and or destroy the witch, and depending on which version you're reading, they get away.
And then there's arson in it. I mean, what's not to like?
And well, yeah, but the kids show resourcefulness to overcome the witch. And the main character is a witch. Hello. Your girl's a witch. But also, I liked Hansel and Gretel. Again, like I said, there's been various interpretations, but it's one of the few that has been embraced, I should say, by the horror community. And like I said, Freddy Krueger's not the only one that did it, but he did it well. If you've ever seen Wes Craven's New Nightmare, it'll legitimately terrify most people. It's one of the scariest of the franchise.
Okay.
And they do Hansel and Gretel in Nightmare on Elm Street 7, Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Okay. Number three, the third one I could think of was Jack and the Beanstalk. Big ass plant. Big ass giant. Little dude.
No. See, she's leaving out the part that she has a thing for giant Scottish men, right?
Was he Scottish?
I don't know. He wants to eat an English man. I don't know.
And it's only Drew.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a thing for every Scottish dude.
Okay. But anyways, okay. So you like Jack and the Beanstalk, but don't have a good reason for it.
I have no reason for it.
It's a green bean.
It's not that
old. It's a green bean. It's a vegetable garden.
It's the third one I thought of.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
All right.
Wow. She's phoning it in. All right.
What do you want from me? I am so unprepared.
At least tell me what you saw the first time you saw it.
I can't even remember that.
Did you at least like the Super Mario interpretation? When Mario...
Wait, what?
When Mario did it.
Wait, Mario did, they did Jack and the Beanstalk? No, I never even saw that, I don't think.
On the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh, I definitely...
Blue Albino.
I didn't even see that.
As a wrestling fan, you didn't watch that show.
First off, it's Captain Lou Albano, not Albino.
I knew I did.
How dare you insult Captain Lou?
I was trying to prove that she was a real wrestling fan, and she almost sidestepped it.
How?
She almost sidestepped it.
Dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you insult Captain Lou?
I knew I'd get under her skin. All right.
Moving on.
My number two. My number two is Aladdin, and this one is not just the Disney version. I like the Disney version. I like the one with Will Smith, but I also like the cartoon. But I love the original fairy tale too, because it's totally different.
It is.
It's way darker.
It is very much darker.
And one of the things I like about it is we're going to say genie, because that's what the Americans call them. But in Islam, there's another word for that spirit. And the original Aladdin does more with that as a spirit than it does as a, I'm here to grant three wishes.
As a magical being.
Right. And it's, you know, a lot of Americans are afraid of Islam for various reasons. But it's one of those, this book was definitely written at a time when that religion was not very understood.
No.
And so one of the things I like about it is it gets you to do your homework. Because when you look at the Disney version, you really have to be told, those are Muslims. A lot of American kids grow up loving Aladdin without realizing that that's actually, they're very Middle East.
Middle Eastern.
Yeah, they're talking about praise Allah.
Yeah.
That they say those words in the movie, in the book. And all. I mean, so, but one of the I like about it is it's got the darkest secret in the magic. It's like, I'm going to grant your wishes, but there's a price.
There's a price. Pay. Yep.
And I like dark. Now, Aladdin has not been embraced by the horror community and has not been interpreted, to my knowledge, as a scary movie.
Always with the horror movies.
But it was turned into a fantastic Sega Genesis video game.
Okay, I'll give you that one. I liked that game. I used to play the hell out of that game. Okay, well, all right, Aladdin. So the number two one that I thought of was one you've already talked about, Hansel and Gretel. I mean, breaking and entering, cannibalism, arson, murder. I mean, property destruction. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. All right. What's your number one, Steph?
She may have already hit stop on the recording at this point because she knows what I'm going to say and she doesn't want me to get it said.
No, we're still recording.
Okay, good. My number one fairy tale of all time is actually Shrek. And what I love about Shrek is because it's a modern reinterpretation of all of the fairy tales. And the ogre is the princess. And I love that.
Because did everybody hear that? Uh-huh. That was the sound of my eyes rolling so loud.
I think she popped a vein. She is definitely going blind now if she weren't already.
Oh, there goes the left eye. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I love Shrek. I love the whole premise that they're trying to round up the fairy tale creatures so this little dude can build a great big giant, I don't have a tiny dick, monument out in the desert. And all the fairy tale creatures are like, we won't tell.
Yeah.
And there's a gingerbread man in it.
And Pinocchio.
And he gets his leg broken.
Uh-huh.
And it's just hilarious. I love Shrek. I just love it. It's one of my... And it's not just Shrek. It's the whole four... Oh, I love all four movies. But that first movie was just... It made fairy tales fun again. Like, Disney did okay, but they also kind of lost their way.
Disney made them cutesy.
Yes. But this... Shrek also had just a hint of, that's fucked up.
Yes.
Like what the original fairy tales had.
Yes.
And it was kind of a satire on that, because it was like, you guys are you know, you're talking about these cute stories that have really dark endings
and really twisted shit in them.
Yes, and so Shrek was kind of like a good play on that, and I love the. I mean, they did the whole, you know, mirror mirror, show me the princess again, so I can whack it. And then the mirror was
like, I will say this,
its eyes.
Well, I will say this. While I thought it was. It was a good movie. I don't get all excited about it. John Lithgow.
Yes.
Now, he's a hilarious individual, but he played a douche nozzle just so well in that. Just being that dude with penis envy. So, oh, just so well. And it was like, but that's not the John Lithgow I'm used to, but... Damn, he's good. But then I have to also remember, there have been other times when, like, Cliffhanger, he was a dick. And it's like, okay.
I like to think that somebody gave him some acid and they said, just read these lines. And that's what he did.
I think Lithgow, though, at this point in his career is a lot like Patrick Stewart. It's like, why the hell not? What do I have to lose? This could be funny as hell. You know,
I love that guy. I love everything about Shrek. I think it's the greatest. Because to me, it's a modern fairy tale. Now, I was going to twist modern fairy tale into Star Wars, but I knew you would kick my ass if I did that.
That's, yes, do not do that. That's, everything comes back to either a horror movie or Star Wars with you.
Can you listen to that Texan butcher the word over there? Good God, lady.
Horror, not whore. A whore.
What's your number one?
A whore was what I used to be. All right, my number one.
Whore and horror are two different things.
Yeah, well, not the way you say it. It doesn't. My number one that I thought of was Red Riding Hood, and this one
is this
really
the movie?
Spoke to me. The story overall.
Oh, okay, because I was going to put the movie.
Deep, will you shut the hell up?
I'm sorry.
It's a very deep and cautionary tale about this poor young girl and how you shouldn't trust others and things aren't always what they seem. That's bullshit. I don't know anything.
No, but I read one of my professors made us read us this when I was in college. We read this book or this paper. I can't remember what it was, but it was on how that whole story is actually an allegory for a young girl discovering her sexuality and finding out that men are actually predators.
I mean, I wish I could say that was wrong, but
when you said Red Riding Hood, I was thinking the movie Red Riding Hood, the horror movie.
I'm not. None of these were based on the movies.
Because I was gonna use that as a segue to talking about Ginger Snaps.
No,
but you won't let me.
But at the same time, I mean, let's face it. This is your girl talking here. Let's not be that deep when it comes to Red Riding Hood. Why did I think of it first? Well, because in our modern era, Red wears a pretty provocative outfit, pretty sexy looking outfit, and yeah, your girl wishes she could wear that.
Okay. Sure.
Give me enough time and I can make anything dirty.
Well, yeah.
Oh, God. You know one of my favorite things to do, Steph?
What?
Is to make something dirty just to get you to turn bright ass red.
She's a pro at it, by the way.
Oh, hell yes, I'm a pro at it. I love it. Anyway, all right, with that means...
Are we done?
We're at the end of our show.
All right, we want to remind everybody where they can find us.
You can find me at Robin Allura on Twitter. You can find Stephanie at The Spider's Lair on Twitter. Same with Facebook, mm-hmm. I think, for you.
Well, my Facebook is The Spider's Lair blog.
The Spider's Lair, oh yeah. But you can find kind of both of us mm-hmm. on Twitter and Facebook at Transpose Pod.
Yep.
You can email us at transpostpod@gmail.com. I want to thank everybody. This is episode 14.
Wow.
14. Holy shiitake mushrooms. You thought I was going a different way.
Well.
But this is a lot of fun. And we say that every week, and we love it. We love that people are listening. Interact with us, you know. Even if you don't like our show, tell us, because I'll just go, okay, thank you. Thank you for your feedback. And then I probably won't do anything with it. But we love talking to everybody. We love connecting with the community. So we want to thank everybody for listening.
I have another announcement.
Oh, dear Lord.
No, this is important. You guys, Robin was awesome enough to come onto my show this week.
Oh, she's shit. Over. I almost forgot about that.
You can find us over at thespiderslair.com, where you can also go to thespiderslair.podbean.com, and you can hear the current episode of the Spiders Lair podcast, where I am the host, and I'm, you know, sometimes more serious, but not always. And we talked about stuff. WrestleMania, Transformers, and some other collectible bullshit.
We got started on the whole wrestling thing, and then she pulled the rug out from underneath me.
It was a lot of fun, because she was sitting there remembering that it wasn't her show, and she was powerless to stop me.
Yeah, I know.
But you should definitely check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll probably be online before this one, so we'll have to do some time travel.
Oh, Jesus, I hope so. Good Lord. But thank you, everybody, for listening in. We all love you.
Yes.
And
very, very much.
Yeah, interact with us at the social medias. Until next week, everybody, she says what? Hashtag stay cool. I say hashtag world's greatest podcaster, but then again, I'm also kind of a bitch. So we'll see everybody next week. Take care.
Bye.